Support calendars for Lori with CEF are available in the foyer. I might wait a little bit, actually. I did. No one heard it.
He did, but nobody heard.
That's what I said. Yeah. He needs to get on the mic. I didn't
hear
either.
Wow. I think
you did
great.
The mic was in my mouth just about.
Is that one obvious enough?
Yeah.
All right. We'll wait till Josh and Sarah sit down. Now we'll wait for Robin. Welcome home.
It's good to be home.
That's good to hear. Support calendars for Lori with CEF are available in the foyer. Come on, Mom. Family hour begins at 9 a.m. on Sundays. They are starting a new study, Living in Jesus. If your email address ends in ptd.net, you are not receiving church emails that contain links such as opportunities to provide meals or assistance. If you have another email address to share, please send it to the secretary. The next prayer meeting is at Palisades High School before the school board meeting. I'm sorry, the next prayer meeting at Palisades High School before the school board meeting is Wednesday, February 19th at 6:30 p.m. And then Zach has an announcement as well.
So a little light in numbers, but we do have a small fellowship today. There are some Eagles-themed desserts, Sandy. So the sign, the desserts, we're doing it for you. So please feel free to stay after a little bit of that, grab that. And just remember, the fellowship sign-up is out there on the board. I do think we're full through March, and I know there's a list of people who've signed up to sort of pool together, which is awesome. As soon as I said that, people ran right out there and signed right up on there, so I really appreciate that. But if you can take a peek, if you're able to sign up, we'd appreciate it. And then if you could stand, if you're able.
So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10.
to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture.
you pray with me? Gracious Father, how we praise you and thank you for being able to depend on you. Thank you so much for this day. And even from the very moment we got up and we realized if we're not going to get through this day if we don't depend on you. And we praise you and thank you for your love and your mercies. God, we believe you for everything that you are doing in our lives. We thank you so much for your care, that your glory will fill this place. We just want to be with you today, and we thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives as we seek your face, David wrote, and the Lord responds back in verse 8 of that psalm by saying, seek my face, your face, O Lord, will I seek. And so, Father, we do. We seek you this morning. We lay before you our church and our prayers. I think of Marge with the loss of Glenn this week. I pray, Lord, that you would be with her, her family, her kids, her grandkids. Father, just draw close to them. I thank you for CEF and our support of Lori as our missionary. And I know that she's had some more sinuses and infections and flu. And this week, and as Sheila is feeling down too, and just so many of our church people going through sicknesses at this time, we ask your healing care and strength to be upon us all. Father, I praise you and thank you for working in Jeanette and getting her to the rehab center over in Center Valley. I thank you, Father, for the good things that you're doing in her life and in healing, and how that people are helping with Ben in the evenings, which has been a huge answer to prayer. And we just praise you for that. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us here today just to love you and to worship you and to give our hearts to you. And we just lift up our hearts and souls and praise to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. I loved Harvey set up, shouted up a little praise there, right? You may be seated, everybody. You may be seated. I just love the kiddos, you know. I've always believed from the very, very beginning, we like nurseries, and my mom was a nursery worker, and she always liked to quote the verse when she was working in the nursery, they shall all be changed from 1 Thessalonians 4, We don't all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So, just want to bring to you a reminder. If you pull up my PowerPoint that I have, there we go. God sightings. I just want to take a few minutes and share some with you. And again. Thank you for the person who sent me this. This is just a great picture of Glenn. Look at him laughing and smiling there. When I got the call to be over at the hospital, and they knew that it was going to be his last moments, I gathered with the family and we prayed. I had actually more time earlier to talk with Glenn on our own, the two of us, just the two of us, when God gave him a really, really good day last Saturday, or the Saturday before his passing. And when I was visiting with him, and we were just having some time talking alone, he looked at me and he goes, Pastor, there's only one thing that I kind of have a regret, and that is that I did not pray with my wife and kids as much as I should have. I thought that was a really wonderful moment. You know, when you're facing that unsuredness and things that are ahead of you, you often wonder that question, what am I going to be thinking about? What are the things that are going to be on my heart and my mind? And I just wanted to share with you what a joy that that's what was on Glenn's heart and mind, his family, his love, and his wanting to pray more. And I just wanted to share that with you. Continue to keep them in prayer. Glenn was cremated. I just got from the daughter this morning a link for obituary. I can pass that through the church email in days ahead because I can't off the top of my head remember which funeral home the arrangements are going to be. But he was cremated, and they're going to do a future service here at the church. They just don't have the timing planned out yet. They just don't know when. But just so you know that they are going to have a service here for us, and we'll plan for that probably in towards Easter is the best that I can do, because I really, really don't know their timing. And there's a picture of Jeanette as she moved to her new residence, and she had her puppy dog, Ben, and Bob were able to bring the puppy dog to visit. And didn't she look good? Yes, she did. And every time I visited with her, she keeps going, so-and-so visited me, and so-and-so visited me, and so-and-so visited me, and so-and-so. And she's always thinking of other people. And that's what I love about Jeanette. And so just praise the Lord. And I know that emails were going around, the answered prayer for meals and for help and people helping out. So we're just thanking the Lord for that. This was a God sighting for me. This was actually yesterday. This is our deacons, our young deacons. And even though Bob wouldn't classify himself as a young deacon, he was there. He was there being a young deacon too. But they've been doing some things. And they've been working outside and doing some things. And I guess my highlight had to be, I'm looking out the front window, and Kyle has things on fire out front. And I'm like, I can't believe this guy. What is he doing? And so when I get out there, him and Josh are standing there, and Kyle has this old stuff where they cleaned out this closet, and he found some old paint thinner or something. And he's just burning it, and I'm, what are you doing? And he goes, of all people, on a cold day, you're out here lighting things on fire. And what he was doing was he was getting the bricks unthawed out. I never so there's a good example of me, who would have never thought of taking something like that to thaw out the bricks so that they could fix that front. So if you haven't noticed, they fixed that front bed out there where the trucks had knocked that out. So just, a couple things that they were working on. They were working on cameras and cleaning. And I just want to say thank you to these guys. It really means a lot that they are being doers. And it really means a lot to me that they're taking care of things. And they even took care of that flickering. How many of you remember the flicker back here last week? They got rid of that. So they're on it. And so keep praying for your deacons. I'm really thrilled for these men. I really am happy that we have the deacons that we do. So just some praises and thanks. I don't want to make a service of this time as a memorial service, but I did want to open it up. If you had anything or any memories about Glenn that you wanted to share, I just wanted to open that up and ask you to, if you wanted to share, just quickly share one, if anybody felt comfortable. Go ahead, Jeff.
Glenn was like the governor of our section.
Oh, yeah, mayor.
Nobody got in over here without going through Glenn. They had to meet with John. So we have a pretty tight section here. But the week before, I always sit across from him a lot of times. I sat down, he looked over at me, he reached his hand out, and said good morning and smiled. So, and I didn't know that would be the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody else? Anybody else?
I could back up his boss man, Pastor Money. One time I tried to sit at the older folks section, and he said that I had to be at least 60 to sit in that section. But yeah, he was always smiling, always had funny jokes to say.
Yep. Over here, Kevin. Big Southern Gospel guy.
And a couple different of those big smorgasbords. The second one we went to Bird in Hand. This is very unique that I learned about Glenn. He knew how to sit down.
He knew his stuff.
And lobster and everything.
Yeah.
And the prime rib, I was like, he knew how to hit it just right.
Yeah.
Hang out with me, you'll learn these things.
Go ahead. New Year's Eve, we went out to Ephrata, or out that way to Yoder's, I think it was.
Yeah.
And Marge and Glenn are sitting there, and Glenn couldn't help himself. He had so much chicken and everything, and Marge was looking at him, you know.
Yep, doing the clown.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for sharing those things. Anybody else? I don't want to cut it off. Go ahead. You're kidding me.
One of the elders and said, we need to send our pastor to Israel.
Wow. So I didn't know that. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that it was him.
Wow. Go ahead.
I took Mom and Dad to go visit him, I think Saturday, probably the same day as my dad's here. And I think when he was with Sheila, she visited him, he told us about a song. So he said, Marge, pull that up. She couldn't pull it up, but because he does like the Southern gospel.
It's over in glory land.
Yep. I'll just not forget that.
Yep, yep. And I heard that same story through the grapevine, too. And Marge said that he appreciated Sheila being there to do that so much because that was the last time he heard his favorite song.
Yeah. He asked her a couple weeks ago if she could do that in service.
Really?
And that's why it was on her heart to make sure to get over and see him.
Yeah.
He had it burned to a CD, and Mom
yes.
brought it over to him.
Good. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Anybody else? Real quick.
I will. John Wilkes wanted to bless him one time, and Glenn and Marge were, at their age, very familiar with burning coal. And since my husband is a coal man, he went to Tim and he said, can we get him a decorative piece of coal for his front flower bed? Tim's like, sure. So we got this piece of coal and put it in his front flower bed, and we got a note from Marge. This is every morning he gazes out in that and marvels at, wow, look at that piece of coal. It's so cool.
And
he
you
just
know what?
Loved that piece of coal.
I marvel too, because when I would visit him and I noticed that piece of coal, because I always look at people's gardens when I go to their house, and I'm like, what is this piece of coal doing in the middle of their garden? Now I know the story. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's huge. I said, Glenn, did you get that in your stocking for Christmas? Yeah, that was good. Anybody else? This is good. I don't want to stop the spirit from this. Yeah.
I saw his car at the Rimmers one day. Marge and them over there. I knocked on the front door. They were in there playing cards. And I told them I was from the PA gambling house. And you should have seen the look on their face. Mr. Rimmers said, stop by any time and try to bust it up. So
yeah.
They really enjoyed going over the Rimmers.
Glenn had some very old set things about church. And I don't know if you ever heard this before, but he used to say to me, like if I'd visit him, he used to say, Pastor, you know, I like you and I like our church and everything, but you know what I just don't understand? Why do people have to have coffee in church? When I was a boy, we never had coffee in church. And he would bring that up every time I visit him. And then Marge would go, Glenn, you're a hypocrite. You're the first one back for a cup of coffee after church. That was a fun memory. I'm sorry. I love it. I love it. He is a good guy, isn't he? Well, he's singing over in Glory Land now. And we're just praising the Lord for that. So, all right. Well, I'm going to turn our attention to our scripture reading and pull that up. And you can stay seated for this. This is the Living Bible, and this is verses 1 through 8 of John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He lops off
every branch that doesn't produce, and he prunes those branches that bear fruit for even larger crops.
He has already tended you by pruning you back for greater strength and usefulness by the means of the commands I gave you. Take care
to live in me, and let me live in you, for a branch can't produce fruit when severed from the vine, nor can you be fruitful apart from me.
Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever lives in me, and I in him, shall produce a large crop of fruit, for apart from me, you can't do a thing. If
anyone
separates
from me, he is thrown away like a useless branch, withers and is gathered into a pile with all the others and burned.
But if you stay in me and my commands, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. My true disciples produce bountiful harvests. This brings great glory to my Father. Let's continue as we sing together. I didn't do it.
Please stand if you're able as we sing a couple of great classic hymns.
But I long to rise in the arms of God.
never let the righteous be shaken. Psalm 55:22.
Church today? Okay, Jamie. If you want to go to children's church today, I'm not going to stop you.
It's going to be a good time.
See? Yeah, yeah. If you want to go to children's church with Jamie, go right ahead. I'll give you an out. I actually need a real quick drink of water, so I left my water bottle down here, so please don't mind me. John 15. You have your Bibles. John 15. Entitled this, From Fruit Loop to Fruitful Benefits of Abiding. When I was a kid, it was not a good thing to be called a Fruit Loop.
It's still not.
Thank you, Mike. I don't know what it was like for you, but unfortunately, if you got called a fruit, it was just not a good thing. But, you know, there were times when we would call each other as kids, oh, you're a Fruit Loop because you're loopy. You're not with it. You're not always with us as a group. Strangely enough, I did not know that the taste of fruit, real fruit, differed from candy. I always thought that when my mom would say, would you like some orange or would you like some cherry, it would taste like Fruit Loops. I thought Juicy Fruit gum grew on trees. I mean, it was just one of those kid things that I automatically believed that the taste that I called cherry from Lifesavers was the real cherry. And it took a while before it kicked in, and I realized that fruit that you eat is different from the candy taste that they manufacture. John 15, verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. We're learning about abiding. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. We've been talking about what the definition of abiding is in verses 1 through 5, and I put our definition up, and I want you to read it with me. Can you see it? Okay, here we go. We're going to read it together. Our definition, to live a lifelong habit of staying closer, staying connected, and staying cleaner in order that you can practice Jesus' daily presence and trust him for productivity and growth in your life. And that phrase in the middle there is the key, if you can remember that. Abiding is staying closer to Jesus, staying connected to Jesus, staying cleaner in Jesus. And what happens when we abide in him is that he makes his presence known through us. And that's something that only he can do. And when it comes to the fruit that we get out of our lives, we cannot make the fruit happen. If we try to make fruit out of our lives, it ends up being Fruit Loops. It really does. It's not the real thing. It's not the real cherry. It's not the real plum. It's not the real peach. It's not of the Spirit. If man, who always tries to make his way through life religiously, if by your own works and efforts, you try to let things come out of your life that is fruit, it's going to look like Fruit Loops or Apple Jacks. It's not going to be the real deal. And the thing that I want us to really get our brains around is what Jesus is trying to say. I mean, why is he walking through the garden with his disciples, touching the grapes and feeling the tendrils? And I can just smell the fragrance as they are biting into the grapes and as they are enjoying their walk up through the garden in the middle of the night. Why is he doing this? For the very reason that they are about to face one of the worst trials of their lives. He knew their hearts. It even says in John 17, he says, or 16, he knew their hearts. He knew what was in their heart. They were full of trouble and fear and worry and disbelief, and they didn't understand this. Jesus kept saying very plainly, I am going to die. That you can't say that. Look at Peter. You can't say that. And there is, but he was. He was going to die, and he was getting them ready and reminding them that, listen, I got you. Even through the most difficult time of our lives and seasons of our lives, God has us. He doesn't want us to be worried about the fruit. He wants us to be fixed on the vine, on him, the connection. But here's the neat thing, that if you forget about the fruit and you fix your heart on Jesus, all this fruit comes out of your life. The fruit's not for you, it's for other people. And so there are benefits to the abiding life, and we're going to look at, there are five benefits, and we're going to be looking at the benefits for abiding life. And what is really interesting is, as I was getting ready for this message, and I was finishing up the message towards the end of the week, it suddenly occurred to me as I was looking at the text that I missed two benefits. There's a sixth and seventh benefit. I'll share that at the end. But look at what he says. I have the New King James. I'm starting in verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and in I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So the very first thing of that is a benefit in our lives of abiding in Christ and staying closer, staying connected, and staying cleaner in Christ as we focus on him and not the end of the branch where the fruit comes from. If we focus on him, what happens is he produces the fruitfulness out of our lives. We don't have to do that. It's not our job. Our job as branches are not to produce the fruit. Our job as branches are to abide. Let him produce the fruit in our lives. And so I want to ask that question, who bears fruit? Well, the Greek word charos, again, it's the idea of a product from the plant. It's a product from the plant that appears to show, I just can't get my thoughts around this. Let me back this up. What's the difference between vegetable and a fruit? The taste? Nope.
Vine.
Nope. The difference between a vegetable and a fruit is this. A fruit is developed out of the ovary of the flower on the plant, and it contains the seeds which will reproduce the plant. A vegetable is an edible part of the plant, like the root, the stem, the leaf. So did you know tomatoes are not vegetables, they're fruit? Did you know that? Because they got the seeds in it. So the best way to know that you got the fruit of something is if the seeds are in it. Well, why are you sharing this? Because I think there's a little bit of spiritual relevance to this. The thing that makes spiritual fruit in a Christian life, if you want to define fruit, is this. It is fruit is those things that Jesus takes from our lives and that cause reproduction of faith out of our lives to be shown to other people outside of us. That is what spiritual fruit is. Spiritual fruit are those things that kind of have seeds of faith in our lives that come out of our lives and reproduce faith in other people and help other people to grow. I think that's truly what spiritual fruit is. And it's not Fruit Loops. Because we think in man terms. But that's not what fruit. And who are supposed to bear fruit? Is it only pastors? Is it only certain people? Is it only certain saints and Sunday school teachers and missionaries and people who are really good and have really good prayer lives? Are they the only ones that bear fruit? Look at verse 2. He says this. Every branch, who are the branches? Me and you, right? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what? He takes away. Uh-oh. Every branch that bears fruit, every branch. Who are the branches? Us. So it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or not. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a month. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 50 years. If you are a branch, a living branch, connected and abiding in Jesus, there's going to be fruit out of your life. To me, that's the greatest news ever, because I think we as believers don't believe it. We believe, oh, I can't bear fruit. I'm just going to be the guy who has to hopefully bear some fruit in my life. No, you can bear fruit. I can bear fruit. I remember when I first went to college, and I was always taught that fruit were when you see people come to Christ. And I was convinced that I had no fruit in my Christian life because I had never led anybody to Jesus. And so I went through a period of time where, you know, I'm taking the evangelism EE course, and I'd go out and I would witness, and just when I get to that moment, you know, just when I land the sail, you know, I try real hard. If you were to die today and you were to stand before your God, what would you say? And they'd say, I don't know. And, you know, oh, here we go, here we go. If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? No. Do you want to know? No. No, wait, you weren't supposed to say that. You know, do you want to know? Do you want to know now? You know, if you pray for Christ right now, you can be saved. And they wouldn't. And I'd walk away like, oh, I blew it. I didn't make the fruit happen. I'm a terrible Christian. I've never led anybody to the Lord. I'm just a fruitless Christian. I'm a fruit loop. If you feel that way about your Christian life, you got it all wrong. Because God's going to let all kinds of fruit come out of your life. So what is spiritual fruit? So what I did was I went through Scripture and I found what spiritual fruit is. And the first one is up there for you, as you see on your outline. Christ-like character and attitudes that come from the Holy Spirit out of your life and show the change of your life is fruit. And I put a picture of bananas up there. Why? Because Christians are like bananas. We always are better in bunches. And we always seem to show the world our best in bunches. Of course, there's always the bad apple. I could have put a bad apple up there, but I don't want to talk about that today. We'll talk about that when we talk about pruning later, okay? We'll talk about the bad apple. But the idea is that when you have Christ-like character or attitude come out of your life, that is fruitfulness. And you can't make that happen. That's the Spirit of God working in your heart. Don't think that I don't have any spiritual fruit. Oh, I'm fruitless. If people look at my life, but if they're seeing Christ-likeness character, well, what character? Well, we don't even have to guess. Galatians chapter 5. Listen to this. You know the scriptures well. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness. Forbearance is the idea of patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Notice that it doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. It is a singular noun there. It is fruit of the Spirit because it's emphasizing the character is all one fruit. Not which character it is, because we usually think, oh, there's seven fruits here. No, the emphasis of the passage is this spiritual character quality, such as love, such as joy, such as self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. It is the one thing showing that you have Christ-like character and He's changing you. And can you do that? Can you show the love of Jesus? Yes. Can you show have joy in Jesus? Yes. So every time you're showing that fruitful character, it has seeds in it. And it is making a witness and testimony of reproduction of your faith before a world that's watching you. Now, you might not have led somebody to Jesus, but if you are showing them love because God changed your anger and your unforgiveness to be that of love and care and mercy, then you showed a big, huge banana to the world. You gave them fruit. Isn't that great to know? Isn't that rejoice your heart? It does mine. You know, there are different kinds of fruits, and sometimes we run into fruits that we don't recognize. Do you know what the picture of that fruit is? Anybody know what that is?
Dragon fruit?
Yes, it's a dragon fruit. Thank you, Bill. Do you know, I probably didn't even know what a dragon fruit tasted like till about 3 years ago. Because the Brazilian culture know everything about dragon fruit. And And so they use dragon fruit all the time for salads and desserts and things like that. And same with avocados. Avocados are a South American thing. And so Aralini from São Paulo, Brazil, taught us and had us taste dragon fruit. And I'm like, you know, I'm looking at the thing. This is ugly looking. It's weird. You know, is it going to taste weird? But I tasted it. It was pretty good. Sometimes we don't realize fruit and how good it is and what it tastes like. Do you know there are people out there who have never had watermelon? There are people out there who have never tasted a pineapple. Have you ever run across people like that? They're meat and potato kind of people all their lives. There are Christians out there who they've never tasted of some of the fruits that God wants them to have in their lives. So what is the second fruit? Well, the second fruit are thankful words of praise to God. Plain and simple. Let me read to you from Hebrews. Hebrews, in the context of getting rid of bitterness and greed and covetousness, which infests and grows into our lives, because we have trouble with roots of bitterness. If you read it in chapter 12, verse 15, he in chapter 13, verses 15 and 16 says this, and I'll read it in the NIV. He reminds us, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. You know what that's saying? It's saying that the fruit of your lips, fruit that comes from your lips, when you thank and praise God, even publicly, and say, I thank God for that. You're taking a dragon fruit right out in front of the public, and they are seeing the fruit of God. And the reason why I use the dragon fruit, because most people don't recognize this fruit, but yet it is the most common fruit that comes from us, is the fruit of our lips. And that make you stop and think a minute next time that, you know, this old lady is driving down the road and you're in a hurry and you're behind them and you're... pastor friend who I met with this week for prayer, Pastor Roger from down in... Thank you. Deep Run West. He's a prayer partner of mine. And he goes, you know, my kids always said to me, we were talking about the idea of what comes out of our mouth. He goes, my kids always said to me, Dad, how come the idiots only come out when you drive? Because he's the one who was always going, you idiots. You know, here he is a pastor. And so he was so convicted about this that he gets up on Sunday and he preaches this whole big sermon about, you know, when it says in the, because he was preaching on the Ten Commandments, it says, thou, not to let curses come out of our mouth. And the idea of not using the Lord's name in vain isn't a curse word. It's the idea of if you are pronouncing cursive things against other people, that is what God doesn't want you to do. If you cursively send things out towards people, that's why when people do curse at you, that's why it's taking the Lord's name in vain. Because if you proclaim the name of the Lord, but what comes out of you is corrupt, it's showing that you have a corrupt heart. It's not showing that you have a changed heart. And so the words are very important. So next time he was preaching the sermon, he was telling his audience, because his family, his mom and dad are in the audience, and he says, so next time you're behind a really bad driver, bless them. Don't curse them. Pray blessings on them. And he says, you wouldn't believe this, but that very next week, his mom was driving the grandkids to some event, and she got behind a slow driver, and she said, God bless that idiot. And they told on her, hey, Dad, Mom didn't curse. Our grandma didn't curse. He blessed the idiot. She blesses the idiot. So, but thankful words of praise. I mean, think about it. Think about the impact of those words, how healing words can be if we are encouraging and blessing others and praying for others and allowing words of encouragement to come out. Next time that you are tempted to let it fly, bite it down. Keep it in. And ask God to help you with your words, because thankful words of praise are fruits that'll show out of your life. Here's the third one. Third one. Helping those in need with good deeds is fruit. It's kind of the apple a day keeps a doctor away. And Philippians tells us this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more credit would be to your account. Paul's talking about they had given him a gift, and he was really thankful that monetarily they were taking care of him. He says, I received full payment and have more than enough, and I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are, now this is the key, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. His reference there to the pleasing sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing, comes from Leviticus 6, 14 through 23, where they were to give fruit offerings or first fruit offerings. First fruit offerings were giving the best that you have first of God to others. And when we do that in helpful good deeds to other people, that is spiritual fruitfulness. Because what it does is cause people to go, boy, that was really good. Why did you do that? And that gets you back to the second fruit, because of God. Which gets you back to the first fruit, because he's changing me. The fruit, that's what spiritual fruit is. You know, again, a lot of people, we just think fruit is somebody led to Christ. No, it's more than that. It's all these things. It's Christ-like character. It's thankful words of praise that come off your lips, fruit of the lips. It is helping those in need with good deeds. We can all do that. We do that all the time. In fact, we are giving fruit out all the time, and we don't even realize it. We're fruitful people. We're not Fruit Loops. We're fruitful people. Amen. Okay, here's the fourth one. Purity in conduct and thought. And for this one, we can go to Colossians. Colossians 1 says this. So he's talking, let me kind of pull you into the context. He's talking about we need to live a life worthy of Christ. And he says it this in verse 10. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. There are two parts of this fruit, and I call this the passion fruit. If you didn't notice what that was, a picture of. Have you ever had passion fruit before? Passion fruit is weird. To me, it tastes like penicillin. When I first had passion fruit, I was doing an Australian mission trip, and they made us this kind of dessert, and it had this, what looked like frog eggs on it, and what it was the inward of the passion fruit, which is kind of like, it's like clear frog eggs, tadpole eggs, with the black dot in the middle, which was the seed. And I'm like, you know, this is weird. But I tasted it, and it was like, it's kind of good, kind of weird, kind of good, kind of weird. I kind of like it. And you know, when it comes to spiritual fruitfulness in our lives, if we are careful about letting purity and good conduct come through our lives as God is changing us, what we are doing is that we are doing this fruit. And this should be the passion of our heart and life, that we have purity and good conduct show through because God is working in our lives. And again, it's not Fruit Loops, it's not rocket science, but it is God working. And here's another fruit to have. Okay, we're getting back to where I started from. Spiritual children or a convert. Or helping someone grow. I want to put that in there. helping someone grow. Remember, we might not all, just because you've never led someone to Jesus, first of all, don't sell yourself short. God can surprise you. In fact, I just heard secondhand, someone was sharing with my wife about a situation, and I'll share this much without sharing names. They were saying that we were on our vacation and everything, and when we came back, there was a guy at the airport who was our driver, and we were talking to him, and kind of struck up a really good relationship, and we had something in common, and wouldn't it be nice to get together and actually have dinner? And they did. They later had dinner on a different evening with this person, and they took him out, and they were sitting there, and they were talking, and you know how the ties, small world, and it came out. I don't remember how the conversation turned that way, but the person said, "Now you're Christians, right?" And they said, "Yeah." And they said, "I'd like to know how to become a Christian." You know, I'd be like, you would? And they had the opportunity to just simply share. You ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and life, and praise the Lord, he changes you. And he actually accepted Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Now, that's spiritual fruit. But Paul reminds us not everybody gets that opportunity to see that kind of fruit. But we all have an opportunity, because some of us water, some of us plant, and some of us see God give the increase. Wherever you are along that line, know that God is using you and giving you spiritual fruit. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to find some fruit that got people to heaven that we had a hand in and we didn't know it. Because we're going to be standing in heaven and some guy's going to come up to us and go, "Thank you." And you're like, "Why? You prayed for me and I accepted Jesus because you prayed for me." "I did?" And I think God's going to do this tremendous revelation for all of us, just because somewhere along the line we were praying. We were, you know, we might not have had the opportunity to share the clear gospel. Some of us did. Some of us planted. Some of us were like, "You know, Jesus did this for me and I want him to do that for you." But they said no anyway. But then God gave the increase for some strange reason, whether they were by themselves watching television. I don't know how many testimonies I've heard of people that, "Yeah, I was watching TV and Jesus, and I needed him and I prayed." You know, or they were in church and I felt the conviction and pastor gave the invitation, I had to go. Or it could have just been I've been talking to my friend and telling him my problems, and the Lord just opened all that up. See, God spiritually gives the increase. And I think that one of the fruits that all of us can be blessed in, and I called it the orange, that's why I put an orange up there, is that when we pray or participate or share the gospel or share a testimony, even though we don't see that person accept Christ at that moment, we all receive vitamin C for the Spirit because we had a hand. And I believe that's fruit for our lives. I believe that is fruit. And I'm going to say this, you know, I like to, because Lori's sick and she's not here and she's not going to hear this from anybody, right? Do you know, I like to call Lori my Billy Graham for children. I have never in my life, if I only had an inch of spiritual giftedness that she has with children, and being able to clearly present the gospel on how many kids come to know Jesus. Do you know what I mean? I just wish I had that ability. I'm just not super evangelistic like that. I don't always see it. I pray for it. I don't always see it. But I just don't always have that opportunity. But listen, if you pray for Lori and her ministry, you're going to have spiritual children too. Because when she tells you so-and-so accepted the Lord, you had spiritual fruit. You claim that. And again, when we get to heaven, God will make it real clear to us. John 4 is one of my favorite passages because it talks about there's nothing that brings greater joy than knowing that our children walk in truth. And that's my grandparenting verse too, because children, grandchildren are medicine. And I always tell people, I just want to take the things they say, the energy and the fun, and I want to put it in a bottle and I want to drink it because I need their energy. I need that again. But that's fruit. That's fruit. And you're noticing that I'm staying on fruit so much. That's because I'm going to, after I'm finished with the fruit, we're gonna be ending up our message. And I'm going to pick this up next week. Here's the last one. Obedient behavior. Obedient behavior is fruitfulness. Obedient behavior is fruitfulness. I'm going to read from, I'm going to read from Matthew. Jesus told this to them to watch out. He says, watch out, chapter 7, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. But by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? No! Or figs from thistles? No! Likewise, every good tree will bear good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. How do you know you're a believer? Because you got good fruit coming out of you. Because of the Spirit of God. And if, well, that kind of scares me a little bit because not everything comes out of me is good. Well, we'll talk about that later. He goes on in the passage to say, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you will recognize them. Obedient behavior to the Lord is a constant fruit, and that can be seen. And again, fruit are the things that come out of our lives that add to the testimony and faith of other people so that other people are growing, so that your faith is being reproduced, so disciples are being strengthened. And listen, the fruit isn't for you. Don't get your eyes looking at the fruit. I think the worst thing for us as believers is that we get our eyes on the fruit. And we're like, well, I don't see the fruit I want to see. And sometimes we're like this kid, I don't want to eat that. I don't care if it's supposed to be good for me. Listen, what does God want for your life? He wants abundant fruit, and he's going to give it to you. And he's going to bless you with it. I'm just going to close our message. We're going to pick this up next week, and we just got through point one, and we talked about what is the benefit that God has for us, and the benefit is fruitfulness. And I just think it's a really great place for us to be concentrating and thinking. We'll look at the other things that benefit our lives when we abide in him next week. We'll just pick that up from here. But I love what Henry Blackaby says. Jesus says we need to take a lesson from a branch. A branch doesn't worry about producing fruit. It simply stays attached to the vine. It is through the vine that all the nutrients flow from the roots to the branches. When a branch is receiving everything the vine has to give, the fruit comes naturally and effortlessly. The key to the Christian life is not how hard we try to be spiritual, but how closely we stay connected to Christ. If you concentrate on the fruit, you're going to be a fruit loop. But if you concentrate on Jesus and abide in him, he's going to surprise you and much fruit's going to come out. Much fruit's going to come out of your life. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this day. You're our tender father and our keeper, and you're the gardener of our souls. So we employ you to help us abide in you. You are so faithful. Father, I just pray that people are delighted today in what we've learned from your word. It says in the scriptures, taste and see that God is good. And so, Father, we may not have thought about this before, but we want God to make us bananas for him. We want God to allow our mouth not to be dragon fire, dragon wrath, dragon anger. We want it to be dragon fruit for Jesus with words that lift up other people. We want our hearts to be passion fruit for souls to look to Jesus and trust in him. And we might not have that privilege of that person praying right next to us, but if we are, we can still water and we can still plant and we can still witness. And if we're in that process, we are bearing fruit. And Father, some of us need apple a day kind of fruit in our lives, some good things just to come out of our lives for others to see that God is real. And random acts of kindness that come out of our lives that you know, we stop and help somebody change a tire, or we cut wood for a person who's in need, or all those things are fruits if we're doing them for you. And then Lord, there's this idea of purity in our lives. Father, we know that we fall short. We know that we still have slip ups in our lives, but there is an answer to the idea of fruit and bad fruit in our lives. And Lord, I hope to look at that next week. But I just pray that you would convince us that we can be fruitful and that people can taste the genuine fruit of Christ lived through us, and that we would be encouraged here to say, hey, I want basketfuls and basketfuls out of my life of fruit for Jesus, and I can have it, and Lord, we can claim it. So maybe today, if we're feeling doubtful that can happen, or we're feeling discouraged, I pray that you would just utterly invigorate us with that. I believe it's true. Christ lives in me, and he's letting his fruitfulness come through. And so, Father, help us to learn to stay closer and cleaner and connected to you and abide in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Please stand if you're able, and let's sing and praise to God with Thrive.
unshakable faith, unsinkable love, unstoppable. Anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable. Anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable. Anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable. Anything is possible. Just to know you and to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun.
Say this. Thank you, Zach, for being our leader today, but I heard that Violet wanted people to clap during this song. So that's why she was over there with her dad. But it was fun watching her. Did you watch her? She
was
wonderful. All right, come on, ready? Just two.
Just to know. Make you know they lift your name on high, like the sun make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to soar.
So, Father, thank you for our time together. Bless us as we go, and we'd like to see the Eagles win. Amen. You're dismissed.